Too many people use their own inventions to try and recover from divorce and end up becoming a patched up version of their former selves, hobbling through the rest of their lives, settling for a life of less than. This is a podcast where we explore a much better way, a life rebuilt on Christ using His Word, His sacraments, and His Catholic Church, to allow you to emerge from your divorce a new version of yourself, living an abundant life filled with an extraordinary amount of purpose, peace, joy, and love. This is Vince Fries, and welcome to the Abundant Life Podcast. Well, we're continuing our series on the top 10 mistakes that Catholics make when going through a divorce or after divorce, just mistakes that make things worse, either delay their own recovery, increase their pain, increase the pain of their kids or their other people in their life, make their life more difficult, and just make what is already a really tragic situation even worse. So what I hope to do by highlighting these mistakes and certainly giving you ways to correct them is just going to make your life easier and better and help speed your recovery and healing from divorce. So one of the biggest mistakes that I see over and over again, and even with people that I counsel directly and tell them don't do this, they still oftentimes struggle mightily with this. And that is how to deal with the kids in divorce, and specifically not talking negatively about the other parent to the kids, in front of the kids. That this also includes arguing with the other parent in front of the kids or where the kids can hear you. Any type of negative interaction with the other parent or about the other parent is the in front of the kids is the one of the biggest mistakes I see people make over and over and over again. And it's one of those mistakes that is easy to make. Clearly, there's a lot of emotion surrounding the other parent and in a divorce. And you're consumed with that. And that typically is anger. And if you have kids, particularly if they're younger, they're around. And so, you know, it's easy to forget and, you know, get on the phone and start having at it with the other parent while the, you know, little Johnny or Susie is sitting there eating their, you know, breakfast or whatever, and you're off and running and they can hear every word you're saying. And this is a huge problem because kids are an innocent victim of divorce. Remember that. You know that. They didn't ask for this. They didn't cause this. Yet they are sucked into the middle of it. And, you know, they're grieving just like you. They're experiencing all the emotions that you are experiencing. And what they have a right as a child, have a right, and that is to be able to freely love each parent. That is their right. Unless one of those parents is causing them some kind of physical harm or danger, they have a right to love each parent equally, abundantly, without reservation, without limitation. And when you speak negatively about the other parent, you are taking away that right. Why? Because you are now putting them in the middle and you're forcing them to decide loyalty. Who am I going to be more loyal to? And instinctually, they don't want to make that choice. That's not a choice they should ever have to make. Instinctually, they want to love both equally. And when you speak negatively about the other parent, you are forcing them to go against what is natural. And that creates a huge amount of tension for them. It's bad enough that they're having to grapple with this reality that mom and dad are getting a divorce, their lives are going to be turned upside down. There's, as you know, there's many changes that come with divorce. typically housing situations change. Certainly living situations change. Now they're living in two different places. The kids are living in two different places. And it's extremely disruptive to their lives in the best of circumstances, when mom and dad are getting along and not speaking poorly, you know, about each other, you know, in front of the kids, not arguing in front of the kids. It's already the most difficult challenge that those kids are going to have to go through, certainly in their childhood and most likely in their life. And when you speak negatively about the other parent, you make it worse. You make it worse. So I can't stress enough to you to not speak negatively about the other parent in front of the kids. Even if they're in the other room and you think they can't hear you, oftentimes they can. You need to remove yourself to make sure they can't hear you. That may mean sitting in your car in the driveway. That may mean going outside and, you know, walking down the street a little bit. Whatever it is you need to do, or postponing the conversation. It's perfectly fine to say, let's say, you know, the other parent calls and they're upset about something and they're wanting to get into it with you and you feel that your blood is starting to boil. You know, say, look, now's not a good time to talk. I definitely want to talk to you about this. Let me call you back, you know, in an hour when I'm free to speak, because right now I'm not. You need to take control of that. But so often, particularly in the beginning of the divorce, when emotions are you know, really high, you know, something happens and boom, you're in a full-fledged argument and right in front of the kids or where the kids can hear. You're driving in the car, they're in the car, you're taking them to soccer or whatever. And, you know, you're often running with this negative conversation or this argument and the kids can hear it. And just know, every negative comment they hear about the other parent increases their anxiety. Every one. So it's like layer upon layer, brick upon brick. You're just building up this weight of anxiety upon your child. And what you should be doing right now is trying to do just the opposite, is remove as much of that anxiety as you possibly can. Another big mistake that kind of related to this that I see often is telling the kids the mistakes of the other parent. That is a huge no-no for all the same reasons. You know, kids, and rightly so, put their parents on a pedestal. They are gods to them. They are, you know, above reproach. They are as close to perfection as they can imagine. And whether that's true or not, we all know that, you know, adults, parents, we're not perfect. We make mistakes. And certainly in the cases of divorce, one of the parents could be making some really, really bad mistakes. And there's this desire to tell the kids those mistakes. Why? Well, you're angry, number one. And number two, you want to make sure the kids know it's not your fault, right? So you're going to say, look, the reason this divorce is happening is not my fault. It's your dad's fault or it's your mom's fault. And here's why. Huge mistake. Don't ever do that. Okay. One of the questions I get often is, well, what should I tell the kids and when should I tell them? And here's the common wisdom is you don't tell the kids any details, any, you know, specifics. And you don't, you know, put blame on the other parent. You simply say, you know, mommy and daddy, you know, have decided we're not able to live together anymore. It has absolutely nothing to do with you. You've not done anything to cause this. We both love you tremendously, and we're so sorry that this has happened. But there's this knee-jerk reaction to try and make yourself look like either the victim or the innocent one to your children. They don't need that. They don't need to know the details. I promise you that the details will come out when they're supposed to come out, and that's up to God. You put that in God's hands. And if for some reason your children need to know the details, surrounding the specifics of what the other parent did that could have caused the divorce, they'll find it out. And oftentimes it's from the other parent. But you, when you start sharing that information with your children, you take, you know, you step all over that timeline. You step all over God's timeline. God's aware of everything that's going on. And God knows the hearts of all the people, including your children. And he knows their capacity to receive certain information. And when it's appropriate, if it's appropriate, it will be revealed. You watch. I've never seen a situation where the information didn't come out when it was supposed to come out. And you typically, you're not the one to release it unless it pertains specifically to you. And then you need to seek counseling and prayer to decide when the right time is to reveal that information. Okay, and you'll know. But so often in the beginning of the divorce, where tensions are high, anger is flying all around. It's just one of these just all too common reactions to share with the kids the sins of the other parent. And that's not appropriate. That just, again, it creates so much anxiety in the child's life because they now need to decide loyalties. They are now put in a position that they don't want to be in, shouldn't really have to be in, and you've put them there. So you need to not share this information. Now, you know, one of the big questions that your kids are going to ask you is why? Why did this happen? And let's assume for a moment that it's the other parent who's not present, and this question is asked, that really precipitated the divorce. Let's just say there's infidelity, okay? Very common cause for divorce. Here's what I found that was really helpful. Tell, especially when they're younger, say under the age of 12, you can say, look, when mommy and daddy got married, we made a promise to each other to love each other for the rest of our lives. And for some reason that I don't really fully understand, mommy has made a decision that she could not keep that promise anymore. Or daddy, fill in the blank. And I don't really totally understand why. But that's why mommy and daddy are getting a divorce. Yes, it does put some of the blame on the other party, but you're not giving the details. You're simply putting it in the framework of a promise has been broken. And children understand that when promises are broken, you know, there are consequences to that. And so they can get their arms around that you should keep your promises, and that, you know, bad things happen when promises are not kept. And then you can say, when they say, well, why did mommy break the promise? Or why did daddy break the promise? Say, you know, I really don't know. I suggest you ask mommy, or I suggest you ask daddy. That at least gives the opportunity for the other person to respond and share whatever detail they are comfortable with. And I would give them the same advice. You don't need to give the details. I mean, you know, oftentimes if you don't give any details, this question hovers over the kids' minds, and they're just like, it's a total mystery. Mommy and daddy getting divorced, we have no idea why. So it's okay to put the reason in a framework of a promise has been broken. And that's it. And then over time, as the kids heal from this, recover from the divorce, get older and mature in their ability to cope and deal with problems and pain in their life, they'll have the capacity to receive information and deal with it in a healthy way. But when they're young, you are just dramatically increasing the tension in their life because they have no capacity to handle that kind of information. And they don't have the language to express their feelings, and they don't have the maturity to cope with these emotions. and all kinds of really negative implications can happen in their life. Okay, that's when you see real, real negative consequences in your children's life. So your job is to protect them as much as possible from the negative fallout of divorce. And that's your role. They didn't ask for this. You may or may not have even been the cause of this, but your job in any case is to protect your children and to help them through this crisis to the absolute best of your ability. And oftentimes that means keeping your mouth shut. And that can be a very difficult thing to do. But I will tell you, I've seen situations that are horrific because mom and dad could not keep their mouth shut about the other parent in front of the kids. I know one situation, it's kind of an extreme one, but where both parents were, there was an all-out war, even after their divorce, and they could not be around each other without some kind of battle erupting, and it would always be in front of the kids. Well, it created so much anxiety, and they had four small kids under the age of 12. They had two boys, I think they were around 4 and 6 at the time, that they're arguing in front of the kids. They're speaking negatively about the other parents in front of the kids. Created so much anxiety in these small boys' life that they were pulling their eyebrows out. Is that not horrific? Is that not about the saddest thing you've ever heard? Where, you know, these poor kids who didn't ask to be in this situation to begin with should not be in this situation. Childhood should be a time of bliss and you know, free from pain and tension and anxiety. And yet, you know, children are thrust into the middle of all that. And these poor boys had no way to cope and deal with the tremendous anxiety their parents were creating in their life, that they were pulling their eyebrows out. So please, pray for the graces to be patient, the graces of temperance, you know, of prudence, of self-control during this difficult time, so that you don't bring an ounce more anxiety into your children's lives than absolutely has to be there due to this divorce. And do everything you can to protect them. So, hopefully that helps. Please take this to heart. It's probably, of all the advice I give to people, it's the one that they struggle the most with keeping. I remember this one person I was advising. He was a friend going through a divorce, and I gave him the same exact advice I just gave you. Okay. Well, then one day I was having to help them move. He'll help him move something, and I'd go over to his house, and you know, I knock on the door. Nobody answered. The door was open. I opened it, and there they were, in front of their son, having a knockdown dragout. Even after I just had told him not to do that. And I said, "What are you doing?" You know, pulled him aside. I said, "What are you doing? We just talked about it." I know, but she started it. And I'm like, "Well, you didn't have to, you know, participate in it. You could have just removed yourself from the situation." But it's so hard. I know, when you're in the heat of the moment, it's so hard to remember it. But I tell you, when you do, and you must, you're going to save your kids a tremendous amount of heartache. There you go. Hope that helps. God bless you.